The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, I think we're all excited to be in the same room. We're all excited to make the tax cuts permanent. All the Republicans virtually in 2017 voted for these tax cuts. Right. It was a huge boon to the economy. So, yeah, I think all of us getting in the same room, we're all excited about, you know, returning to remain in Mexico, which means you don't get a free ticket to come in here. We're not going to escort you into the country. We're going to say you got to stay in Mexico. If you want to come into our country, apply from Mexico. So there's a lot of good things that I think are going to happen that we are in near unanimous agreement.
Well, there is Senator Rand Paul talking about his excitement to get to work. Donald Trump meeting with the Senate Republicans today. Senator Eric Schmidt here of Missouri tweeted out a couple hours ago. He's like, going to meet with the president elect here shortly. What would you ask President Trump? What would you want to know? Fox News had a post. It kind of goes in hand with what Senator Rand Paul was talking about, getting back to the Remain in Mexico policy. Mexico is responding to the incoming president-elect Donald Trump's future here administration. Fox News reports that the Mexican government is working hard to break up migrant caravans trying to make the treacherous journey north to the United States ahead of President-elect Trump's inauguration in less than 2 weeks' time. Faced with the prospect of massive tariffs on goods under the new administration, Mexico has been dispersing migrants throughout the country to keep them far from the United States border, including dropping them off at the once vibrant tourist hotspot of Acapulco, a beach resort town in Mexico's Pacific coast made famous by the jet set in the 1950s and 60s. Fox News goes on to say, once a crown jewel of Mexico's tourism industry, the city now suffers under the thumb of organized crime and is still struggling to climb back after taking a direct hit from powerful Hurricane Otis in 2023. It now has one of Mexico's highest rates of homicides. So you've got these caravans. Everybody's heard of a caravan coming through Mexico. And now that Donald Trump is coming back into office, his mere presence coming back into office in less than 2 weeks has Mexico participating in the process of breaking up these caravans and sending these people who are in these caravans to what sounds like a hellhole part of the country in Acapulco. That does not seem like something you'd want to participate in. Do you think that in and of itself would be a detractor to people who are coming through Mexico from Lord knows where in Central America, in South America, to get into the country? Are these are basic things that could have been done at any given time. And it highlights the fact that Donald Trump's presence, his fortitude and his willingness to stick and stay the course has an effect just by virtually being there. Joe Biden's border policy was to undo Donald Trump's border policy. I think off the top of my head, 91 executive orders right out the gate from Joe Biden to undo the border policy and the safety and security of our southern border based on what Donald Trump had done. Fox News goes on to say on Monday, desperate migrants could be seen sleeping in the streets in tents and say they fear Mexico's drug cartels could target them for kidnapping and extortion, though many migrants say authorities extort them too. a 28-year-old Venezuelan told the Associated Press, quote, immigration officials told us they were going to give us a permit to transit the country freely for 10, 15 days. And it wasn't like that. They left us dumped here without any way to get out. They won't sell us bus tickets. They won't sell us anything. Now, I don't want that for anybody, but I also don't want people to think that they can just hopscotch their way through Mexico and get ushered to the border where the Biden administration hands them a pamphlet when they come in, says, download this app, see you when we see you. Because that's been the policy of the Biden administration leading up to this point. And all of the numbers games that go on from people who are trying to support the Biden administration say, border crossings are down significantly. Well, they change the way people get to come into the country. They don't avoid coming to ports of entry anymore. They come to ports of entry and then they get put in the country. It's all going to change. And it's going to be so amazing to see the action take place, to see a leader, somebody who, I every once in a while I'll say leader when I'm talking about elected officials. And some of you guys hate when I use the word leader. And it's funny to me how using the word leader in the context of Joe Biden feels icky. Using the concept or the term leader in the thought process of how Donald Trump comes into office feels less icky to me. A, it's probably because I ascribe to a lot of the policy decisions that Donald Trump is going to put into place. But also, B, Donald Trump is willing to lead. Donald Trump is willing to say, here's what we need to do. And he's been saying that throughout an entire campaign process where he's advocated to the American people. This is what I want to do. These are the problems. I'm not afraid of identifying what those actual problems facing real Americans are and offering you solutions. This is the problem. This is how I'd fix it. What the Democratic left has done for years now, I'm going to say go back to about 2006, 2007. The Democratic Party has come in and said, no, those aren't your problems. Let me tell you about the problems that you have in your life. Let me tell you about the problems that this country has going all the way back to the beginning. It's incredibly problematic. So problematic, and you may not have even realized how big of a problem these things are. But we're going to define those problems for you. We're going to pull the curtain back on all of the terrible existence that goes hand in hand with the idea of America. We're going to tell you about all these problems, and we have solutions for you. They sold you the problem and the solution. And guess what? At the end of all of it, we're way worse off than we ever were before. A portion of the people in this country have only grown up in a time where they've really been pressured into the cultural societal idea that America really sucks. This place is the worst. America? You're going to be proud to be an American? Do you know how much shame you should have to be an American? The ick factor is off the charts. You're going to wear a flag? You're going to put a flag out in front of your house? You're going to put a flag emblem on your car? Do you know how gross that is? And a lot of us have been sitting by going, I love the flag. I get warm fuzzies when I see the flag. I tear up when I hear the national anthem, and I can hear it again and again and again and still get sentimental about it because, gosh, I just really love this country. Why do they hate it so much? What is so bad about it? They're so angry about it. Because when I think about my country, when I think about the United States of America, when I look at the photograph of my grandfather, who was a captain in the Army in World War II and made maps, was a topographer as an officer in the Army because he had experience making farm maps in the Midwest. When I look at that photograph and I know the things that my grandfather saw when he fought in the war for the United States of America, I'm overcome. Just absolutely bursting with pride for what he fought for. The people who hate this country are disgusted by these visuals that make lots of us well up in visual emotion because we love what we have here so much, and you haven't been allowed to publicly display that without encountering some judgment. And I know a lot of you are like, well, I don't care. I'm gonna sing the national anthem proudly. I'm gonna display seven flags. I know. That's why I love you people. You've been here. You've been doing that. But there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people who are starting to go, yeah, I think I really love this country, and I think I'm not afraid to show even a little bit of it right now. It's like after the storm comes through in the springtime, that really nasty storm, everybody, well, not everybody, some of y'all go out on your front porch and in your driveway. I don't advise that. Go in your basement. I changed my philosophy on that when I went to help clean up the tornado after Joplin. I used to be a front porch sitter, not anymore. The storm comes through. The clouds are as dark and ominous as they could possibly be. There's so much noise. The rain is pounding. The thunder is clapping. The lightning is flashing. And it just looks absolutely chaotic. And in America, that's been by design. It's been designed for you to cower. It's been designed for you to go shelter. I'm thinking of that gif of that psycho person who is like out in the hurricane in his like swim shorts or something, and he's holding the American flag out, and it is like, it's horizontal. The flag is straight out, and it's just like America.
Long
like,
hair
yes,
flowing.
Yeah, and I mean, the man has never felt more free. Possibly stupid. But you see this storm coming through and you brace for it and you hunker down to get through it. But then, you know, in the springtime, that first time, because those clouds, they move and they're so big and they're so strong, but they're so tall. They're not as necessarily widespread. They don't last for days. You can have a storm in the spring and the summer and be swimming in the sunshine in the evening before the sun officially goes down. That first bright glimmer of sunshine that breaks through those clouds, and you're like, okay, I think we're good. I think we're in the clear. That's now. That glimmer of light is now. Stand in that sunlight and embrace the idea that we are about to see the sun again. And I think that it's very, very exciting, and it causes me to think about that in a way that makes me swell up with hope and excitement. And realist, pessimist Annie is like, stop it. Don't go there. Because we're conditioned now. We're hunkered down. We've been hunkered down. It's not the way life is supposed to be. Life is not supposed to be this constant drudge of political battle where it's the most important thing that you deal with on any given time. That's not what it's supposed to be. Politics is not anywhere near the most important thing in life. The only reason why you should care so much and be so passionate about what goes on in your government is because of how that reflects on the things that are actually important in your life. Your health, the people in your life, the family in your life, the friends in your life, your community. How you make a living, how you live independently and free in the greatest country on the face of this earth that is, of course, by the people and for the people, and the people voted for that again. That is a huge glimmer of light. It is a piercingly bright glimmer of light that comes through after the storm. And we can't be so used to cowering away and hunkering down that we don't go, oh, we might be on the other side of this thing. I'm the type of person, I don't ever want to be caught off guard. I'm the type of person who wants to be, whatever the information is, if it's data, give it to me. I would like to use it to my advantage, either to get a step ahead or to be prepared. Don't be the person who forgets to enjoy the moment. Don't be the person, I see this in conservative circles, and I know they don't want my pity. They don't want me to feel sorry for them. But the people who are still taking like intentional victory laps about Trump over other human being, other people, like if you wake up today because you want to punch down and own the libs, so to speak, like we don't have to do that. And it doesn't ever make, maybe it makes you feel better. I get it. I get it. And I'm going to say this. Some of them are asking for it. But in the same vein that you might wake up and want to own the libs that day, you are setting yourself up when the tides turn once again, and they will turn again, to own the cons on the other side. Like, they will look forward to that opportunity. You don't have to do that right now. There is goodness that is coming our way with a whole new approach to every nook and cranny of government that exists when Donald Trump gets back in office. It should make you happy. And if it makes you happy, just enjoy it. Let people see the joy, the real joy. And which, you know, going back to the campaign, when joy became the thing for the super Midwestern, what is his name? What's the vice presidential candidate? Harris?
J.D. Vance? Oh, Tim Walz.
I could only think of Kane. What? You're like, oh, he's super Midwest and the total picture of masculinity. And you're like, like, it's not, nothing against him. It's just these words you're using. I don't know if those are the words I would choose. I know a lot of Midwestern men, and I'm just saying.
They aren't the words I would choose.
That's not the words that I would have gone to the thesaurus and scooped out. The people who tried to tell you what your problems were that I was talking about before, they told you what your problems were. You're like, oh, we have clear problems. And they're like, those aren't your problems. And you're like, I'm pretty sure they're my problems. And they're like, nope, not your problems. Here are your problems. A very well-constructed marketing campaign to recalibrate what we know to be real and true all the way to the point where, like, that's not a man, that's a woman. That's not a woman, that's a man. And you're supposed to sit there and keep your mouth shut, and people were like, I just can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I can't play this game anymore. I'm a nice person. I'm a good person. I can't do this anymore. Common sense won out. I am so excited to say that because I don't trust common sense to it's not as common as you would like it to be. Don't forget to enjoy this in a way that preserves it. Don't enjoy it at the expense of the people who have already lost. That's not where the joy comes from. Enjoy this in a way that preserves it. And make so that people see the joy in your face and they ask you about it, that they notice it about you. Not something you got to rub their face in. It will make a difference. And it's not just about politics that I'm talking about. Let's take a quick break. YouTube live chat poll. Will Mark Zuckerberg make Facebook great again? Vicky said, no, but he'll think he did. Kind of a funny way to think about it. Joe said, I'm a yes. I'll root for anyone who tries to make the right decision. He's on the right track. Let's all cheer it on. High five, Joe. I'm right there with you. We'll be back in a minute. Don't go away.
Donald Trump shows me what's politically possible. Trump shows me what presidents can do if they want to do it. Donald Trump shows me what can be said if you are willing to say it. It's not about what can't be done. It's about who has the political will to do it. I don't want to hear a peep from Democrats about nothing until they get the balls to say what's really on their mind in regards to this country and this world. Trump doesn't care if it sounds ridiculous. Trump doesn't care if it makes sense. It's no political correctness whatsoever. As I've been saying for years, the language of politics is dead, and Donald Trump killed it, period.
So Charlemagne, I'm just gonna like refer to him as Charlemagne. I'm not even gonna say the god anymore. Why? Because it's my show and I can do what I want. He can call me Annie the loser on his show. That'd be great for the show. Go ahead, Charlemagne, do your thing. What he says there when he's talking about Donald Trump, he says that political speak is dead and Trump killed it. Donald Trump talks like we talk. And if you speak, oh gosh, like the it's just so funny to me that Barack Obama was considered to be this great orator. And then we listened to him for 8 years and people are like, he's not that great. but he said things in ways that people hadn't talked before. So it was new. It was different. So you leaned in. You paid attention to it. I can't help but think that Kamala Harris is like AI Barack Obama. It's artificial intelligence. But when you listen to Kamala Harris talk, it was like, gosh, this should make more sense than it does. All the elements are there to make it look like it's, well, this should be mind-blowing. Like, maybe it's possible that I'm just not smart enough to get it. And then we listen to Kamala Harris for, if you just ask anybody in the campaign, like, how is she supposed to do this in just 100 days? And I'm like, I don't know. She's been the vice president for all of the other time. Yeah. You'd think that she'd be able to speak for the love. But Kamala Harris said all, like, if you were to type into some artificial intelligence system to write me a speech of all of the, you know, woke is kind of an overused word, but maybe it's underused, honestly. All of the things, it's all of the stuff your air quote's supposed to say. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, it's like, these are things you're supposed to say. Political correctness is the way you're supposed to speak. But it's not really the way you're supposed to think. It's a front.
Yeah.
It's a pretension. It's the idea that I'm going to present myself to people so they think I'm something acceptable. And the question is, acceptable by what means? Some cultural handshake agreement that we've had that we're not allowed to say this word and we're not allowed to say that word. And you're supposed to make sure that every opportunity you get, you make sure that these marginalized people know that you are an ally. And it's like, why in the absence of some sign in my yard that has so many godforsaken words on it that it becomes a driver's? Listen, I can't have too many political signs in my front yard. Because it becomes a hazard for drivers, or they can't be too tall. The lady across the street from me had a 4-foot-tall Donald Trump sign in her yard, and they said it's a driver hazard. But you can have a hate has no home here with a chapter book listed underneath it, and that's not a distraction for drivers? It was one of my favorite parts of Lady Ballers, I think it was, the movie put on by the Daily Wire, Jeremy Boring, the president or whatever, CEO or chief dude, God King, whatever he says. They put this movie together. Go see it. Go subscribe to the Daily Wire. I'm not getting paid or compensated, would love to be, to tell you to do that. Talk to me, Daily Wire. I'm right here. I watched that movie because it was Lady Ballers was a movie about men. It was a high school state championship basketball team. And now they're in their 20s, or maybe they're in their 20s. And they find out that they're having the world games, but it's for amateurs. Anybody can participate. And they come up with the idea. They're like, we could just say we're women and we could win everything. And the whole movie is just the absolute in your face absurdity of what people have handshake agreed to everybody else out there to say, this is what we stand for. Okay, listen, I coach basketball. I'm an assistant coach with my husband, who head coaches grade school girls basketball. So I know this lane. And I also know that most of you don't. You know why? Because nobody watches the girls basketball. Not before Caitlin Clark. Whole different conversation. There is a scene in the movie Lady Ballers where they're doing the qualifications to actually become part of the team that's going to represent whatever in the world games or whatever they called it. And they have the men's game happening in this arena somewhere in Nashville, I'm sure. This men's game is happening and the crowds, every seat is packed. People are going crazy when the basketball is going on. And the men who are representing as women to try to represent the women in this tournament, they walk into the gym. And they're all living their glory days as state champions 10, 15 years ago or whatever it might be. And they're back in the gym and they look around and they take in the crowd and everything is just going crazy. And they're like, oh, we're back. You know what it's like? You had glory days. It might have been on the basketball floor. It might have been in a field somewhere. I don't know. You had glory days. And the thought of being able to go back just for a day and living that top notch, it's appealing. So they're out there and they're seeing these men playing in this basketball game and the crowd's going wild and they're so glad to be back. The movie starts with them winning the state championship. Same kind of vibe in a high school gym. Crowd's going wild, so on and so forth. So they walk out of the gym when the men are playing because the women are going to play the next game. And when they walk back into the gym to take the floor to get ready for their game, there are like 4 people in the stands. And the most amazing part of this movie, which is a very entertaining, well-acted, good movie. Go see it, Daily Wire. Lady Ballers, not being compensated in any way, shape, or form to tell you this. I've watched it at least 3 to 4 times myself. Throughout the course of Lady Ballers, the reason why it's such a smart movie is as people hear that these men are publicly out there representing themselves as women, even though they have full beards and the weirdest looking wigs that you could possibly imagine. Like, they're making no effort to present. You can tell that they don't, like, live as women. As people hear about what these men are doing, the stands start filling up because everybody wants to be seen supporting the right thing. And in the midst of it, you've got montages of these men in pink uniforms and bad wigs, like, just destroying female basketball players because it's absurd. And as that is such a great metaphor for what these last 15 years have been, where nobody cares about girls who are playing basketball. Nobody cares about it. And I was a girl who played basketball through my senior year of high school. And I was so passionate about being able to play it. I remember all of the girls I played with, the coaches that I had, the success that we had, the success that we didn't have. I remember all of it. It was so personal to me and so important for me to go through that process, to work really hard at something and succeed. And guess what? It did not matter if the stands were full or if they were empty. We could still work hard to succeed at something and appreciate the success that we earned by being a part of a team. Nobody shows up to watch that stuff. And then all of a sudden, when men show up and present as women, people start showing up. They didn't show up to support women. They showed up to be seen supporting something that they were told would make them look like a good person. It's so superficial. It's so shallow. It's so cheap. It's not real. And that's what America has been missing for so long. We've been missing what is real. And the truth of the matter is that when reality sets in, when reality is apparent to everyone, it's never all good. And it's also never all bad. There are silver linings when it looks like there's all bad. And there are bittersweet moments when it looks like it's all good. That's the way reality is. Anything that is so saccharine that it makes it seem like, oh, it's all sweet. This is just so wonderful. I'm always like, what are you lying about? This I know. I know. I'm very realistic and, okay, pessimistic about things. But what better metaphor is there than in the movie Lady Ballers when you have women showing up to play basketball and nobody gives a rat's patoot about those women and those girls who are playing basketball? Nobody cares. And then you front this situation where these men present themselves because they're just trying to score. That's all they're trying to do. They're trying to make money. They're trying to advance. And they know that they can do this. They're just a washed up high school basketball team that was good 10 years ago. And they can show up and they can just, like, literally dunk on these women who nobody was watching. And then people start to show up. America's super done with that. America is super done with fake. And when you listen to Charlemagne say Donald Trump shows me what's politically possible, political speak is dead and Trump killed it, you started this bookend with Barack Obama, who came in and ran against John McCain, who's the oldest, crustiest Republican we could have at the time. Like, John McCain is the embodiment. I appreciate what he did for this country. I appreciate his service. I don't like everything he did as a senator. And as an American, I can say that. Doesn't mean I don't respect what he did and the service that he gave. But could there be a more stark contrast than John McCain and Barack Obama, this brand new fresh face out of the Illinois Senate? And Barack Obama spoke the way people didn't speak. Now you have Donald Trump coming in and he's speaking the way people don't speak, but he's also speaking the way real people speak to one another. He's speaking the way politicians don't speak because he's speaking to people. And he also listens to people. It is a new dawn for reality. And like I said, reality is not soft. It's not for sissies. Can we say sissies? I can say whatever I want, right? That's what we're doing now. It's not for sissies, but, like, I'm not going to raise my children in a world where I safely protect them from everything that's going to hurt them in life, because I need them when those hurtful moments realistically will shore up in their lives. They need to know what to do. They need to know how to handle it. They need to be confident enough and comfortable enough to know where to go with it, which is home, to family, or to God and church. and to be able to say those things boldly and know that everybody who I say that to right now on this show is not from a good, strong core family like I am. I understand that people have different experiences. Not everybody listening right now is a Christian with a good Christian church family like I have. You might have a good religious organization that you go to. It's not Christian. You worship differently than I do. Not everybody is the same. But just because not everybody is the same and diversity exists, which I thought would have been the natural point of everything that's taken place, just because that exists doesn't mean that you have to shut up because somebody else said that the monolith is just not to include you. And you can't live that life. You can't raise kids. I can't raise kids in a world where they don't know what challenges they're going to face and who they are at their innermost core. The thing that's going to thrust them through those difficult times so that they can achieve something on the other end. You can't just point at the people in the room and say, you're bad and I don't like you and you make me sad inside, and then have that be a solution. That's absurd. Donald Trump changed the whole game. You're in a moment right now where we get to handle this transformational period of time in American history, and we get to do it with our thought process in a position of power. And you don't have to, you know, when Charlemagne's talking about political speak, it's done. It's over with. And the people who utilize that political speak to shame you, to make you feel shameful, or try at least to make you feel shameful, you don't have to feel that. You never really did. You never had to feel it, but you probably felt frustration and anger that it just seemed like the world didn't make sense for quite some time. It's starting to right itself. Be present in that. Be active in that. But also be kind in that. Because there, again, I'm going to say this over and over and over again for, I don't know, however long I can get away with it. People are looking over to our side right now, and some of them are frightened to death about what's going to happen next. And I feel sorry for those people because they've been lied to. They have been deceived. Intentionally deceived. Make sure when they peek over at the other side, you don't make them turn their heads away right away. You don't have to do that. Some people are going to ask for it if you want to fight and rumble on, no pun intended, X. Okay, fine. Those people are asking for it. But if you know the people, if you know their phone number, if you have their address, if you go to church with them, if you're in baseball games or basketball games or whatever with them, give them something to look at and lean into and go, I kind of like to know, this doesn't seem like what people told me it was going to be. That's what makes it great. That's what will make the country great again. And it really starts with you. Donald Trump is just the catalyst. All right, when we come back, let's get the results of the YouTube live chat poll. Will Mark Zuckerberg make Facebook great again? Donald Trump has had a few things to say about this, including Greg Gutfeld. We'll get those comments and thoughts and yours on the Annie Fry Show next before we get to the results. Don't go away. This isn't Justin Bieber, is it? I don't think it is. Does that say it's not Justin Bieber?
It says L-A-U-V.
That's probably the oldest you've ever sounded on the show.
Yeah.
I have to say, like, I get Justin Bieber. I'm in the Justin Bieber algorithm pool swimming around. I get stuff.
Oh, really?
I get Justin Bieber stuff. But he's got so much. He's got so much witness out there that that's the stuff that I get sent. That and his wife's name, Haley Baldwin. Is she Haley Baldwin? Is that right?
I don't know. I just know her as Haley Bieber.
She's Haley, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know like anything other than this crevice that my 40-year-old algorithm has been like, you would like to see these things from Justin Bieber. But he's got worship songs. He's got he's talking about being faithful to his wife. He's talking about raising a family. He's talking about forgiveness. And I can't help but think that he has experienced something in his life that has thrust him into needing the full weight of grace and mercy, the full understanding of that. And of course, everybody's thinking the Diddy stuff. And so am I. Are we going to find out? Are we going to find this stuff out? Are we going to find out the Ghislaine Maxwell stuff? Are we going to find out the Jeffrey Epstein stuff? Are we going to find out lists? Because that was something that was promised to us. And I don't want for a second, like, I don't like, I mean, I guess it's entertaining, but I don't, it's too dark to be like, oh, I wonder if Justin Bieber existed in this realm or whatever, if he dealt with these things and now he's clinging to this Christian faith to cope with it. That's kind of what I'm thinking, but I don't want to connect those dots to one another. I want to know, but whatever has brought him to this point in his life to be this kind of a witness, I'm leaning into it. Ethan, are you, like, do you know anything about this? Are you a Justin Bieber expert?
About what specifically with Justin Bieber?
Just, I mean, he's got such a Christian witness. He had a Netflix special years ago, and it was kind of like a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And it walked through his early life and his rise to fame and success, and he seemed to be a pretty grounded person. But he has seemed to have gone through some, like, drug use, right?
So I do like Justin Bieber, but I mean, I don't think that you have to be a big fan of Justin Bieber to understand and have a level of understanding as to how difficult some aspects of becoming
Justin Bieber.
I mean, the most famous person in the world at the age of 12. That's crazy. I mean, I think of how I was at 12.
How famous were you?
I wasn't famous, but you were. I was.
How were you? How famous were you at the boys' club, boys and girls club?
I kicked butt and everything.
Everybody knew.
No, but I mean, I was a you know, like most 12-year-olds, a super anxious kid that was questioning everything that I did, and I think about how I was, and then all of a sudden you think, oh, most famous person in the world at 12? That's crazy. So. He definitely has made some interesting decisions in life, as he did. He was a kid, and, you know, he got arrested at one point. You know, he did some stupid stuff, and he was in the media in a negative light. It seemed pretty often there for several years in his teens. And now you throw in all of this Diddy stuff. And you can, and it kind of takes it even a step deeper as to, like,
and darker,
how much, like, you can't think about what's going on. But then you think about it from, it makes it even so much worse when you think about how it's how kids in Hollywood are being taken advantage of in this way.
It's a story as old as time. Yeah. I mean, gosh, Corey Feldman's looked like a crazy person for quite some time. And everything that Corey Feldman has said to be true about how children are sexually abused and groomed and stuff in Hollywood, everything he's saying seems possible in what we've heard recently. But I also think it becomes fodder. In a way, I don't want to participate in the, like, hand-wringing, like, ooh, what kind of story? Like, from a gossipy drama standpoint, this is way worse than
this
that.
This is someone's life.
And it's, what's being alleged is a system that just accepts the sexualization, the sexual assault of children that, you know, like... Remember when we believe all women? You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You remember when the Harvey Weinstein stuff came on, and what was there? It was like a hashtag.
The Me Too movement.
Yeah, Me Too. Yeah.
Yep.
I think that there was probably. I'm gonna say this, and maybe I'll argue my point in the other way at another time. I think more good came from Me Too than bad, but it certainly wasn't all good. The idea that believe all women, not for a freaking second. Because, listen, I'm raising a son and I'm raising daughters, and I want my son to have access to fairness and justice and respect as much as I want my daughters to have the same thing. And there was a lot of advantage that was taken over that movement. And then coming out of Hollywood, you realize, like, how dramatically prevalent the casting couch was. And you're like, okay, these people are dealing with something on a scale much larger than St. Louis, Missouri is dealing with this. Like, when they're talking about Me Too and believe all women, it's like, what's going on there is not the same as what's going on everywhere else. And that's not to say that it's not going on everywhere else. It's just different.
Yeah. And I think all of that to say that specifically in his life, there was, he was forced to grow up very quickly. And, you know, it seems like he has his head on straight now. Like you mentioned, there's like some cool music releases and different things that have come out. And
do you do you believe that's genuine?
I don't think it's my place to say whether it's genuine. I can look at what like he is releasing and say, that's awesome.
The fruits of his labor can be beneficial.
I hope that it is. But, you know, I don't know his heart, just like he doesn't know my heart. So, I mean, from what I'm seeing, that's awesome. And like, you know, it'd be one thing if we're kind of like Kanye West, where we're seeing some of those good fruits, but then we're also seeing him say, you know, all these anti-Semitic things also at the same time. We're not seeing that with Justin Bieber. We're seeing a lot of good quality things right now, which is great and I think is needed right now in Hollywood. And hopefully, you know, he can be a part of that, I would say, younger generation of people that can hopefully change that, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's a little bit too hopeful.
I am hopeful for... It just is another little detail in the direction that culture seems to be going. I also think he's wildly talented, but I think that it's another detail that makes me go, maybe things are going to be a little different. Mm. And, you know, like, I look at all of this through influence on my children. I don't want my kids knowing any celebrity names. I don't want my kids being a super fan of any artist that is out there right now, because I don't trust them. But when I do see people who are using that position of celebrity for something like that, I do notice it. I do pay attention to it.
The interesting thing with Justin Bieber to me is that he at the beginning of his career, I remember them talking about his Christian faith, and he goes away and then comes back. So
yeah,
I think it could be genuine.
I think so. I hope so. Praying that it is. YouTube live chat poll results, Ethan, you got them ready for us?
Yes, I do. 204 votes for today's YouTube live chat poll, which asks, will Mark Zuckerberg make Facebook again? I am a hopeful yes on that for anyone that was wondering.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Me too. Brad?
But oh, yeah, I'm a yes.
Yes, yes.
The majority are not so hopeful. 70% say no, 30% then saying yes.
I regret not adding a option. Facebook was never great. Because I think some people are just Facebook poo-pooers. I would like Facebook to be something that
I enjoy.
Come
on, you can't watch The Social Network and tell me that at one point Facebook wasn't great.
What it was during The Social Network at the very beginning, my goodness. Thank you for being with us here today. Mark Reardon's got a lot of hot stories to cover for you as soon as he takes over here in just a few minutes. AnnieFryShow.com for our podcast. And you can check out and watch the show there as well. AnnieFryShow.com/podcast. Keep it on the Odyssey app or 97.1. Mark Reardon next.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.